Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all the crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com and the Banter Blender podcast, and joining me as always is the hilarious, the funny, the lovely, and the non-snake-bitten Ronnie Karam.
That's right, Ben, no snakes but me, darling! Hi, everybody!
I'm mentioning that because I just saw a headline about a child getting bitten by a snake at the Birmingham Zoo, which has nothing to do with Bravo, except in a metaphorical sense. But Ronnie is from TrashTalkTV.com, which is exciting. And even more exciting is that you all y'all, can follow us on social media by going to WatchWhatCrappens.com, and you'll have links to all of our social media on there. Instagram, Twitter, etc. We just started a Vine channel this week, and we have about four little videos on there that are really funny. So, and if they're not funny, they're at the very least bizarre. So go listen to those. And then Facebook.com/WatchWhatCrappens. So much fun. Everyone is posting crap on there in the best possible way. We talked about a bunch of the stories that people posted on there on our bonus episode, which we recorded earlier today. So some of you all got mentioned by name. So if you want to hear your name, perhaps, you get the sheer joy. No, but anyway, if you want to listen to the bonus episode, you go to patreon.com/WatchWhatCrappens, and you'll find out how to sign up there and support us. It'd be great. Our bonus episode was over an hour long today, so it is really a lot of extra content that you get. We talked about internet outrage, we talked about Big Brother, and we talked about that guy from Boston who saw a sunfish. So,
Jay! What Jay! The F, Jay? What is that thing? It's a flounder. Kill it,
oh
Jay!
Oh my god, what the fuck is that, bro? Jay, what the fuck is that?
Jay!
Pull me Jay! Up, pull back up, Jay!
Jay!
Come on!
Get it on the boat, bro!
Come on, bro, pull back
bro,
up, bro!
Pull back, bro!
Let's see some shit that? We ain't never seen before, kid!
Bro, that's like a fucking
god, that
baby
thing
whale!
Looks dead, man.
We're gonna be on the news,
we gotta call
bro!
The aquarium or something, dude.
We gotta call the aquarium
oh,
or something,
man,
bro!
Look at this fucking
if you guys
thing.
Have missed that, that is
holy
a wonderful
shit.
YouTube video going around where two idiots see a sunfish and don't know what it is. Dying.
Yeah. Yeah,
so, will make me laugh every time I hear that. It's a total sketch.
Yeah, it
Jay!
Was.
What the fuck, bro? What the fuck?
All right, let's move into the show.
Yeah. So anyway, that bonus. But to be honest, bonus episode really good, really fun. We really got into it. So go listen to that. We have no next issue ad today, and we have no Casper mattress ad today. But I can say that my Casper mattress, I'm telling you, I am sleeping like a baby, people. Like
well,
a baby.
I'm sure that everybody's so disappointed that we're not going to do our ads for 30 minutes.
I know.
Like, welcome to the podcast about ads.
Wait, there are two more things we have to mention. That tonight, if you're listening to this in time, tonight at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, we are doing a hangout on Google for people who subscribe on Patreon at a certain level. So again, go to Patreon for all the details on that. It's always a lot of fun when we do that. We'll have all the links will be up, etc. And I tried rather unsuccessfully to start a hashtag this week, but I wasn't trying to be viral. But if there's something you want us to talk about on the bonus episode, use the hashtag #CrappensBonus. The only reason why I started the hashtag is that way I can click on it, or Ronnie can click on it, and we can see immediately what topics to talk about. So,
well, look at that. That's like having a trapper keeper full of, you know,
it's like having Luann. It's like having Luann de Lesseps dress full of
very organized.
Topics. Very organized. So that's it. That's all. That's all that we have to say. And
we
now
did it.
We did it. Wait. Oh, I have an anecdote.
If it's about
anecdote.
A effing mattress, I'm going to kill you.
It's not. No, something super cool happened yesterday when I was at Tiago, my favorite coffee shop. One of our listeners, Mika, I think it was Mika, was it Micah? Mika, who works pretty much upstairs from Tiago, she walked up and was basically like, I recognize you. I listened to the podcast and it was the coolest thing ever. So
that's
Mika,
awesome.
Thank you so much for coming over to say hi. That truly made my day. And I was fasting for Yom Kippur and I was so hangry. And you turned my hanger frown upside down.
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
It's so cool. I was like, wow, we have a real podcast where people like recognize us. It was very, very cool. Very, very.
And your favorite day. Place. You're like, I idolize Tiago.
Tiago was fantastic yesterday. There was some huge bodybuilder there, and he had a tiny little coffee cup. And then there was a fight between the busboy and the barista. It was just like, and then Mika came in. It was just so much drama.
Love it.
So, should we just get on with Ladies of London, my favorite show of the year, perhaps?
Let's please do that.
Love this show. I mean, I shouldn't say favorite show of the year because we still have Vanderpump Rules coming up. Secrets and Wives was pretty damn fantastic, but Ladies of London, killing it.
This is the first time, because every time I notice something new in the opening, this is the first time I've noticed that they basically stole Toxic for the theme. Have you ever noticed that?
I actually don't like the opening theme song. I feel
it's
like it
toxic.
Not,
it's literally toxic, but made into like girl rock or something. Yeah. What the hell? Like,
it's
toxic
also
wasn't girl rock enough. I mean,
yeah, it's also just a toxic opening credits. I'm like, ugh, I feel sick already. But
like, let's stop describing the things people are injecting into their faces. All right, what are the women about?
I know. No, I just feel like they could use a better song. But so the show opened up. And by the way, I took lots of notes today on both shows, okay?
Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, let's have a notes war, Ben.
Notes war. So it starts off with flashes of Christmas with the ladies. They each took a little bit of video with their phones. And my favorite was they start with Annabelle. She's decorating a tree with Granny. She's it's like, Annabelle, the rock star. Here I am being a rocker. Decorating a tree with an old lady.
She's like, Gran, I've straightened up the couch, and now let's put on a decoration before we do the heroine, get naked, and fuck the neighbors.
Granny was probably like, oh, it's so lovely to celebrate with one of my peers.
She's like, I'm mainlining Granny right now. Merry fucking Christmas, rock and roll.
My granny was amused. Alexander's granny. I was raised by affluent grannies, just like Alexander.
I love Christmas. I love seeing my family. I love that whole season. I love that everybody's just so nice and happy. And like, I really love Christmas. I do not love Christmas in England. Okay, they were showing all these shots, these beautiful shots, and I felt empty inside. And I was like, why do I feel like I want to start crying? And then I realized it's because one of my favorite movies is Love Actually.
I was about to say.
And Emma Thompson totally gets screwed over in that movie, and that's the end.
Was it Emma Thompson? I thought it was, what's her face got screwed over?
Who
was Laura Linney. Laura Linney, hello.
Oh, yeah, she did too, I think. But
Laura Linney.
Thompson's the one I remember. I think because she was the one trying to make things better with her husband because she felt like he was out of love. And then she saw him buying her a special gift in the store and she was so excited to get it. And then she realized that the special gift was for his mistress and she got a fucking scarf. And then it ends.
I didn't remember that part. All I remember, I actually didn't really like that movie that much, but
clip, slam, laptop shut, leave.
Assault on Christianity. That's a bonus.
This is assault on Love Actually, Itty. How dare you, sir?
My favorite storyline in that movie was when Laura Linney was attracted to this super, super hot guy in the office. And then he finally pays attention to her. And it looks like they're going to find Love Actually. And then she has this stupid fucking asshole brother. And she winds up spending Christmas with her brother instead of the hot guy. And she's destined to a life of loneliness. I was like, this is the one storyline I cared about all these people. And it had to end like this. I was like, Love Actually? Love Not Really.
Never choose your brother over ass. I mean, that is the way to have the smallest family ever and never have Christmas. What if your brother gets run over by a car? You have nobody.
By the way, Crappens Quotes, at Crappens Quotes on Twitter. I think there's your first one. Never choose Crappens your brother quotes. Over ass.
You guys, Crappens Quotes is back. I don't know who did the original Krampus quotes.
Yeah, we got like a weird message from someone being like, I have taken over now. I was like, okay.
Who is it? Did they say? I want to know. Whoever
I don't know.
It is,
we don't know who you
thank
are.
You.
Yes.
Love it. Love it. Love
no,
it.
No, so,
thank
but anyway, I disagree with you about when I see.
Well, what a shocker, Ben. What a shock.
Here's what I have to say, okay? So I didn't even really like Love Actually, but I like the feeling of the movie. I did like the English Christmas this and that, and like, what's going to be the number one song for the Christmas pop charts? And so when they are all Christmassy and Ladies of London, I'm like, oh, it's the best part of Love Actually. It's that lovely English-British Christmas thing. So I didn't feel empty on the inside. I enjoyed seeing the clips. What I did not enjoy was frickin' Marissa, who I've grown to hate because the editors have want me to hate her, and you know what? I will. On behalf of them. And she's like, okay, everyone, we're going to write a note to Santa. Dear Santa, what do we want to write to Santa? Do we want to wish for a hot dog for Santa? Shut up, Marissa. Hot dogs.
Oh, stupid Marissa. She's like, dear Santa, I'm just writing this letter to say that I really don't appreciate the way that you cleaned out my fireplace last year.
Yeah.
If I want my fireplace cleaned, I'll call a chimney company like every other American.
And then we also saw Juliet frolicking by the beach, and this actually annoyed me, and I'll tell you why. She made such a commotion about Thanksgiving. It has to be just the way I remember in Chicago, you know, cozy, and it could be on couches, and it's relaxing. That's what Thanksgiving is for me. I'm like, oh, so did Christmas also have a beach in the tropical sunlight with no snow? Because you were talking so much about how Thanksgiving had to be just like it was, the friends, like the little slice of home, and then you go and have a non-traditional Christmas in Cancun or wherever you were. It's got to be one or the other,
Thanksgiving
lady.
Thanksgiving in my house is really traditional, Ben, but, you know, Christmas isn't. Like, Christmas is bikini time in my house. And so, you know, we used to gather around. Some people gather around trees. We gather around a big hole in the beach and then, like, make a castle in it and say, thank you, God. Okay? That's tradition, Ben.
The reason why I want to climb up British society is so that way I can fulfill my dreams of being the queen of the sandcastle.
She's like, that sandcastle isn't respecting my wishes, and it's like, it's always trying to make decisions. Stop it, sandcastle.
I have to show that sandcastle my yoga poses. Like, I feel like me and that sandcastle, I feel like we're destined to be friends, but like, I don't know anything about you, sandcastle. So
we moved on from there to Annabelle and Julie having lunch.
Yeah, well, okay, so here's another thing that cracked me up. Julie shows up, Annabelle pretty much sticks her tongue down her throat. She like gives her such a big kiss on the mouth, and they sit down, and Annabelle's like, oh, I've got a bit of a cold. I hope I don't give it to you. Like, what? Just kissed her on the mouth, like the biggest kiss at the mouth I've ever seen in my life. Oh, darling. But don't worry, it's a rock and roll cold. It's very, I believe I got this cold from Alexander. He once had a cold, and I told him, cough into this jar, and when the time's appropriate, I'm going to open the jar and get his cold.
Do you know how difficult it is to have a ghost cold? No one believes me. She was funny when she was talking about her cold, because she's leaning back in her chair like in a rock star pose, like she just can't sit up, darling. Just like it's all beneath her to even sit up and pay attention. She's like leaning back like a rock star. She's like, I've got a bit of a cold, darling. Shut up.
Gets my voice all deep, and it's rather, I think it's rather rebellious of me to have a cold. Everyone's healthy, and I'm going to be like, no, I'm not healthy. I guess I've always been a rebel like that.
Julie's like, a cold? And she needs some vitamin C. I have some vitamin C in my purse. You need a Band-Aid? Oh, the turnover, I'll spank you. Sometimes she can spank a cold. Oh my God, I'm stressing out.
Actually, it's kind of crazy. One thing I like to do is I like to take a bunch of different vitamins, and instead of getting a multivitamin, I take a bunch of them and put them all together into a ball. And I call it JUV, which stands for Julie's Unbelievable Vitamins. I'm going on Shark Tank this week to pitch it to Barbara Corcoran.
She was there to talk to Annabelle about her new, or her business that she's trying to make bigger, called Julie's Unbelievable Balls.
By the way, I have to say, I did not hate this business. I actually was intrigued, and I don't know, little healthy balls, kind of, I would have them.
Oh my God.
I would have, I'm always looking for a healthy snack, Julie.
Well, Julie's Unbelievable Balls?
Yeah.
It seems like an awkward time in history to be saying that. Like, with everything going on with the acceptance of transgenderism, it's like maybe trying to pander to the wrong crowd unfairly. You know, like, you don't get to just say you have balls, and then suddenly we're all supposed to jump on your side, Julie!
I think it's an interesting development for the lineage of the Earl of Sandwich. I think it's very much like, well, one of the Earl of Sandwich's greatest contributions to the world was the creation of the sandwich. And therefore, and then his ancestors later introduce us to healthy balls.
Tostinos were not invented until a pizza maker in Italy married an American, okay? Yeah. The American was the one. Miss Tostino was the one who walked in there and was like, pizza should be in a bowl.
I can just imagine when they're going to some royal event. And now announcing the Earl of Sandwich and his wife, the CEO of Julie's Unbelievable Balls.
So good. The sandwich. An American has turned the sandwich into a ball. Please welcome Sandwich Ball, Lady of Sandwich.
Nay.
Julie. And Julie would be like, oh my God, I'm sorry I'm late. Oh, I've lost a shoe. It's in the car. I feel like Cinderella, but poor. It's not made of glass. I'm so sorry. The kids were hungry. Oh, they hated my mac and cheese. Does anybody have any mac and cheese stamps? I do not understand your milk in this country. I'm freaking out.
This is crazy. I mean, like, we're at a ball. And I'm here to sell balls. I mean, this is just so—it's so crazy. I mean, what kind of life do I lead? I mean, it's bizarre. And the hot chocolate here—it's perfectly cooked. I mean, I don't even know. It's crazy. I'm gonna do a headstand now.
Thanks for having a ball. Oh my God, I couldn't pay for that kind of branding. Like, I literally couldn't because we're broke. How do we live in a castle? Ah!
You know what? I just had another great branding idea. We're going to have an app for Mapperton called the Mapperton with the APP in it. Capitalized. I mean, it's just like, it just writes itself.
I'm going to come out with a special holder for Julie's balls, and it's going to be called Basketballs. And then when people search on the internet, they're just going to find it over and over, and they're just going to keep ordering and ordering it, rooting for it and rooting for it, and it's never going to die.
We're going to sign a deal with England's top basketball team. You guys have a basketball team, right? No? Oh my God. I'm in the wrong country. Well, who would have thought? I mean, this is my life, you know?
No kidding. Like, if you're an American in England, why don't you just invent basketball? Like, it seems like, like not only is the idea not taken, you know it's going to be popular. Yeah. Julie's balls. Get out of here.
I'm going to support her balls.
I really do like Julie, though.
I can't
she
wait
seems
to
like
get,
a genuine yeah, human being, and I really do like her. And she I feel lovely. Terrible for her because I'm saying I like her, and then I'm dissing her. But yeah. Listen, this is out of love, okay?
She is a lovely, thin-skinned woman. So
I wasn't even going to say that. I'm just going to say she's very, like, vampire-looking. The dye is wrong. The bleach is wrong. Then there's the light on her eyes are making it look like she has vampire eyes against the yellow straw hair. And I just feel awful for her. And she's, like, wanting to be taken seriously. And you cannot be taken seriously with a bad dye job.
I agree. I think that... you know, dye job, be damned. She seems so nice and so friendly and so relatable. Yes. And it's funny because last season, she was the one that they all wanted to be cool with. They're like, well, she's going to be, like, her husband's going to be the Earl of Sandwich. So everyone was cozying up to her. And this season, she's like, hey, guys, did you start without me? You know?
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, my God, we're in a castle. We know a lady. And then they get a bill for dinner. And they're like, wait a second. Yeah. It's like, thanks for supporting my cafe.
That's exactly it. Yeah, so
she's poor, darling. Move so
then,
on.
So then at this dinner, so at this like tea time or lunch that she was having with Annabelle revealed that she's writing a children's book, and then they show pictures, and like the main character of the children's book is just scowling, just angry. I'm like, yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, and this whole thing was so good because Annabelle's business, of course, is writing children's books. Like, yeah, the last person in the world, you would think.
The most dreary person in the world.
And she made a book, I think, about a little monster or something, and she's telling us the story behind it with her dead eyes. She's like, I was rich. I grew up rich, wealthy, fabulous. I had fabulous dinners, but school was hard. I was lonely, fearful, and angry. I would stand behind walls, and then I would get so upset that I would run up and threaten to kill people. 20 child therapists by the time I was 8 years old. I'm like, fucking rich people and their therapists. And then she's don't like, send your child to a therapist, okay?
She's like, that's why
I decided to be a rebel.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. She's like, that's when I became a rebel.
Then they cut to a screenshot of the book, and it's a kid jumping off a roof, okay? Literally, I'm not making this up. And then Julie stays kind of quiet while she's listening to this, and she goes, well, we all need a release for our anger. you know, like kids' books. That's a totally reasonable place to release your anger. Kids' books. What the fuck, show? I love this show.
I know.
Show.
Well, I just love that when Annabelle said, well, that's why I became a rebel. I was imagining her then saying, oh, and now would you like to see some footage of me and Granny decorating the tree? I'm such a rebel. I'm such a rebel.
Granny shit herself during the tree decoration, and I didn't change her diaper for over an hour. Rebel!
And then Annabelle was also tearing up. She was like, well, you know, I was so withdrawn, you know, they put me in a dunce cap, which cracked me up. She's like crying at the table, like, I was a dunce cap, made me feel like an idiot.
It's why I have to tease my hair in the back. My head never really recovered. Dunce caps are not made for babies when they still have softies.
To this day, I still cannot eat bugles.
I saw a traffic cone the other day and I crumbled into a sobbing mess.
I kicked them all over and said, you're not stupid, you're not stupid, whoever's under there, you're not stupid. And there was no one there. It was a bunch of dunce caps with no one under.
Have you ever tried eating ice cream in a waffle cone? Johnny, I've died inside. So at the end of this lunch scene, it's like, girl power, girl power. I'm like, because they have products. It's like that's what girl power is. It's like, girl power, we found something stupid to sell to idiots.
I know.
Congratulations.
But again, I support Jub. And oddly enough, as much as we're making fun of it, I actually thought Annabelle's children's book looked halfway decent. So now here's the next product. So then we cut to Marissa.
Love the part where the kid jumped off the roof. I'm buying this for my depressed child who's at 9 therapist Valuable. Before he's 8. What the hell?
So then we cut to Marissa, and there's some wonderful news about Marissa's new restaurant. She's decided that she wants to open up something. Well, she was raised in Southern California, and couldn't, in case you couldn't tell from the accent. And there was always a hot dog on the grill somewhere, which is a lie. It's not like not like we're walking around in a sea of hot dogs. If anything, they're burgers, but like hot dogs. So she says she's going to open up a hot dog place called Top Dog in London. I'm like, bitch, don't you know there is a regional chain called Top Dog in California? Like, are you seriously going to start this right now in London?
Yeah, because in America, there's like literally a Top Dog everywhere, which is why I'm starting a Top Dog.
She's like, the next restaurant I'm going to open up is going to have farm-to-table food. And so in honor of the farm, I've decided to call this restaurant McDonald's, because old McDonald had a farm.
Marissa, okay, she's like, my husband is like, like, he's one of the most renowned restaurateurs in the world.
In the world.
But, like, he can't help the fact that he's not born in America. I am American. He needs me.
Like Americans only understand. Americans are the only ones who can possibly understand taste buds. What are you talking about?
He is the only, like, he just does not know what American street food is like. I'm like, listen, hot dogs are hot dogs, okay? There are good hot, you know, there, I always say this, there's a certain ceiling to how good a hot dog can be. There are some great hot dogs out there, but I trust that a British guy will know what a good hot dog is. I'm sorry.
Well, it's so funny because a hot dog, you know, just listening to her explain it like it's such a fancy thing and she's talking to an idiot, you know?
Yeah.
Like, hot dog, well, let me see, it's like, a hot dog is like a recycled bin, but instead of like aluminum and tins, as you would call them, it's filled with like body parts and like unused parts of pigs and cows, possibly boogers, blood, and piss. Then it's put in like a tube of skin. You guys call it skin here. And then it's shaped like a dick. And then it's in a bun. The end. It's like, bitch, it's fucking a hot dog. Shut up.
And since when is Marissa the authority on hot dogs? That woman looks like she never has hot dogs. Like, maybe she has one a year, okay? She is a person who threw a Thanksgiving party that was out of Downton Abbey. It was so stuffy, and now you're supposed to be the authority on hot dogs? I say no, ma'am. I say have a seat.
You know that nobody really eats hot dogs when they say things like, American street food. No, no, no. Like, let's not get fancy like we're on, I'm going to open a restaurant based on street food around the world. You know, when people get like really snotty, and they actually do produce street food. Like, you don't get to describe it like that. It's like, it's popcorn for $20 a plate. Welcome. This is American street food. Shut up. It's not fancy. It's fucking popcorn and a hot dog.
Stupid.
Also, I'd like to point out that she named her restaurants, and she's like, well, I'm a restaurateur, and we own Bumpkin, Bougie, and Eclipse.
Yeah.
How fitting are all of those names for kind of her life, or like
exactly
different times in her life, you know?
Exactly. And I also don't understand how having three restaurants makes you one of the most famous restaurateurs in the world.
Lord Melissa. She's so pretentious. But as I was saying earlier, I'm just keeping with the thread I started earlier, which is I at least still like her because I believe that she's really like that. I don't believe she's putting on anything. I think she really believes that she's the Queen of England.
Yeah, I think so too. So then, let's see. Next, we saw Julie and Juliet doing yoga, and Juliet announced that she's going to be hosting New Year's Eve. Nothing really happened in the scene, if I remember correctly, correct?
No, yeah, Juliet made a few passive-aggressive remarks about how she's going to invite Marissa because that's nice.
And Julie's they're like,
yeah, that is nice.
That's the nice thing to do because I'm nice. Yeah. That's how we do things. Yeah, that was funny. So then we saw Caroline at work at the
Melania!
Gift shop.
That's how it opened. I died.
No, she goes, Renya, come here. Pauline, forward. Pauline, forward. Valentina, stop. Pauline, pass Valentina. Valentina, now you move. Now both of you step aside. Let Renya come through. All right. Pauline, go to the stock room. Forward. Slowly.
And she's the one to talk like that.
Yeah,
right?
Renya.
So bad she's news, so man. Funny because, of course, she opens the scene with tears in her eyes like she's about to start sobbing. And they showed close-ups of every employee's face leading up to this scene, and everybody was like terrified and had a frown on their face. I was laughing my ass off. I rewound it like 3 times. It's like, all right, get shots of every terrified employee, and then you hear, Valentina, Melania, Renya. And then Renya comes in, and she's like, here's the deal. We have nothing, all right, darling? And she's like, it seems like you don't care, miss.
Hey, mom, it seems like you don't care about the gift shop and the people who work here for you, mom.
It's not that I don't care. It's just that I can't care.
You can't be the owner of a business that is doing, that is huge and is doing as well as this one is without, what'd she say? You can't do that and be a wuss or something. She's like, oh, stop being a pussy, darling. Man up, grow a pair. Call Julie, she's selling bowls. You need a pair of them, darling. Pass them around the office.
All right, Mom, I'll get some bowls for you. What flavors do you want?
Oh, if you have to ask, you're already fired.
All right, then, Mom. I'll go get them bowls. Would you also like me to get a brain for the monster you're building in the back room?
Yes, that would be what's lovely.
Right, Mom.
Oh, love it.
I know. Forward. Valentina, slowly, across the forehead.
Oh, she's my favorite. And she killed it this entire episode.
She was out
Caroline,
of control.
Just what a bitch. And what a hilarious bitch.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. So basically, her company, they screwed the pooch with Christmas, and they only have 3 months of funding instead of 6 months of funding. And she has to figure out who she'll execute first to save their money.
Yeah, the actual business stuff, I was like, yawn, because we already know how that's turning out, because it's an administration currently.
It's an administration.
And, you know, when she says, people want me to fail, I don't think that, I mean, I certainly, as a person, don't want to see her fail. But, you know, I mean, of course it's fun when all you talk about is how brilliant, successful you are, and then give everybody unasked for advice, and then, like, you fail. Yeah,
but she's at least being... She's at least being forthright about the fact that her business isn't doing well. She's not trying to act. She's not like freaking Cynthia Bailey being like, business at the Bailey Agency is better than ever. And there's like a cricket hopping around, you know?
Yeah, true.
Or like Peter's Brew.
The amount of respect, the difference between the amount of respect I feel for Cynthia and Caroline is so immense, like it's so vast. I can't really even comment on it. It doesn't even deserve a comment, darling. Yeah. That's why it took me 5 minutes to get one out.
And the difference is also that Caroline could sell me a cup of Peter's brew, and I would be like, this is wonderful. Because Caroline would say, I bought this for you, and you will like it. And that's yeah. that.
All right, Mom, I'll drink this coffee.
Caroline will be like, drink.
Drink.
Valentina. Say thank you.
Oh,
we got Valentina, trouble. Come in here. I want to watch you eat steak. Valentina, eat.
Now stop. Chew. Stop mid-chew.
Rainier, come in here and watch Valentina eat.
Don't swallow. That's why you're fat, darling. All right.
Rainier, are you
put
hungry?
Put it in memo and tell everybody.
Are you hungry, Rainier?
Yes, Mum.
Well, then, stuff for you. Bollocks for you. You have to watch Pauline.
Yes, Mum. I'd be honored to watch Pauline, Mum.
Then we get to go see more Julie, who's just killing it. Love her.
Julie,
Julie's running around her kitchen. Oh, I'm going to take some oil of oregano and some brown rice milk because
guess what?
I don't feel good.
You know why? Because guess what? Julie has a cold. Wonder where she got that from. I nearly fell out of my couch when she said that. She's like, oh, I have a cold. It's like, yeah, that's because Annabelle Frenched you in the tea time.
It's because you're too polite to wipe your mouth after a kiss, Donna. Don't forget what it's like to be an American.
That's
right. We don't kiss here. Like, maybe a cheek. And even there, I'm like, I don't know if you wipe your cheek with your hand. And God knows where your hand has been. Don't kiss me, darling. Air kiss.
So Julie, she's sick. And it's a bad time to be sick because she's meeting with investors for Jeb. Because she's going to get money for Jeb to take it to the next level. She's like, and the investments can take it from here to here. So she's really excited about that.
I just don't like the name. She's like, Jub. Hey, this is a big day for Jub. I'm like, poor thing. You know that's what Jeb is called by Barbara. she's like, now listen here, Jub. He's like, no, mama. It's not my name, mama.
And then they
Caroline
cut to
her car with her gay, I wrote.
Well, so, but even before that, then Julie goes to meet Caroline. She's going to get some business advice from Caroline because Julie has this... It looks like
I was on the way. Yeah, I was on the way.
So Julie has like a business plan, and she's like, I don't know what it is. I mean, I can't even read. So then they cut to her biking to meet Caroline, and she's biking, and of course, this woman is a lady, and she's like, oh, excuse me, everyone. Oh, excuse me. Could you just maybe move over? Oh, okay, you don't have to. Okay, that's fine. No, I'll just drive in traffic. Oh, excuse me, everyone. Excuse me. She is like the most.
She's
downtrodden. Yeah, she is.
She's got total lady guilt.
Everything.
She's like, I'm so sorry that I have a title. I'm sorry I'm an American. I'm so sorry I got in front of your statehood. Oh, I'm so sorry that I'm from someplace else. Oh,
here's a gift
certificate
to the Mapperton
Cafe. I'm going slow in front of you. Of course, I'm the American, so I'm going slow. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Ah, poor baby. So then, so Caroline's in the limo in the car with her gay buddy.
She's like, be gay. And he's like, girl.
Gaya. Girl. Better.
Maintain.
Yes, Mom.
What'd you do? What'd you get? Why are you here, Rainier? You should be back at the office.
Yes, Mom. I'll throw myself out of the car right now.
Caroline's like, well, I'm meeting with her to be her mentor. But, you know, look, I can meet with her for a few minutes and give her advice. But it's totally different than being a mentor. All right, I don't have time for that. And quick advice and go. The end. That's all I mean, disgusting. Like, she's disgusted on her way there by the whole thing. I just love her.
I love it. She's like, I mean, what is this Jub? What does it stand for? Jules Big Fat Balls. I'm like, Caroline, those are not even the proper letters for the acronym. But I just love this color. Jules Big Fat Balls.
That's true. That's why I wrote down Jub. That didn't make any sense, did it? I was wondering where I was getting Jub. Even as I said it, I was like, what are you talking about? That's where it's from. She's like, Jub.
So then,
she's in the car with her gay. I like that she got out of the car, and it totally reminded me of a rich lady getting out of her car and leaving her little yappy dog inside.
I know, the gay just sits there.
Whole food. She's like, I won't be gone longer than 5 minutes. I'm not going to be a mentor. You won't die in the heat. Stop complaining, dog. Stop yapping. Window cracked.
Gay man, stay in the car. We will not leave the car running, so you'll just have to deal with the cold. Stay.
Freeze. It's hot out here, but as you're a homosexual, most likely you'll be able to produce shade. Onward.
If you get too cold, I suggest you get out of the car and prance about the way you gays always do. Now, goodbye.
So were they at Mapperton?
It looked like Mapperton, but then it wasn't sure, but then it was a cafe. I don't know what it was.
It's like the Mapperton Cafe. Julie's like, just meet me at home. I'll be sitting right by the cash register.
Yeah. Julie biked all the way over there. And then so they sit down with cake and coffee and whatever, tea, soup. And Julie is asking for advice. And Caroline goes, you know, I'm not being rude, but you're hardly the sharpest tool in the box. Like, actually, you are being rude. But you're Caroline, so you can say it.
Like, why don't you call these idiot bowls? All right. And then the ingredients can be stupidity, idiocy, and foreignism. All right.
I thought you were supposed to be the wife of the Earl of Sandwich. Where's the sandwich here? It's just a bowl.
What kind of lady of sandwich are you? You don't even serve sandwiches.
It's called Lady of Sandwich, not Lady of Bowls. So then Julie hands over
Lady of Frozen Bangers.
Julie hands over her business plan and comes up, well, you're not going to go with this, are you? Julie's like, I don't know.
I'm not going to just, like, whip out a piece of folded up paper. It's going to be a straight piece of paper. The paper's going to be flat. It's not going to be folded up.
Yeah, Caroline is so dismissive. She's like, she looks like daily she's been dragged through her... She says, let me try this again. She looks daily she's been dragged around by her ankles through 7 bushes. So great.
She's been dragged through bushes. She teaches yoga. She's got a home delivery service for bowl things. I mean, she deserves, you know, she deserves a medal for walking around with roots like that.
Yeah.
And then she's like, not to be rude.
She deserves a medal for most common lady. And then Julie, then it becomes like this weird, like, Shark Tank scene where Julie is pretending like she's pitching to Caroline, and Caroline's like, well, what are you going to use the money for? And she's like, well, I need to hire a manager. I mean, I'm the brand. And Caroline's like, well, you're definitely not the brain.
Julie's and like, Julie, this is the part I really love this scene for some reason, because Caroline was being such an out of control cut fitness in this scene, and Julie seemed in this scene at least to be like, yes, she's awful, but I know she's awful, and she's funny and smart, and that's why I'm meeting with her, and that's part, her awfulness is part of that, so I like all of it. You know, like, she was coming from such a cute place where she is being so accepting of such a bitch, so of course that warmed my heart, you know? I was like, oh, see, people can be accepting. One day I'll have a friend to have lunch with, darling. Thank you for the inspiration, ladies of London.
Thank you.
I'm toxic!
So then everyone started getting ready for New Year's Eve, because Juliet was hosting this thing where she's invited everyone because she's nice. Mm-hmm. She's nice. And we saw Caroline Fleming for the first time this episode, and she's like, I'm going to wear a long dress for dinner, and then afterwards a short one for comfort. I was like, oh, that was a great arc for your episode.
She's like, and with both, I will be wearing this cream-colored fur with a bow in the center.
What? It didn't match the white dress or the comfortable dress. What are you wearing?
She's like,
you're not wacky by not matching.
She's like, well, I'm not matching because in life people don't match, and that's the joy of the season. So I will not match. But we must match sometimes. We just must. We must. Here's some Fritos.
I'm trying to see where I am. I'm still on balls because I wrote down Caroline's. No, it's my fault for not scrolling down, darling. I typed my notes today, so you know there's 20 pages of them. But I just wrote down Caroline saying, this needs a different name, darling. You can't call it balls. Why don't you just call it something closer to home, like sad sack? I mean, it's going to need to be something about the testicles, darling. Yeah, it's like, at least make it work. scroll. You're definitely not the brain. Need more money. Okay, Juliet nervous. Okay, Juliet's makeup job. Wow, so beautiful.
I thought it was great. I mean, I think that all the makeup artists on every other Bravo show should take heed, because every time these women, every single woman on Bravo always has a session with a makeup artist. I mean, like, they cannot do it by themselves. And everyone always acts like they're going off to the Oscars. Okay, do your own makeup for once, people. But that being said, they always get a ridiculous smoky eye and some crazy blush. I mean, I don't even know makeup, but they always look like drag queens. This is like the first time I agreed with you. I was like, she looks fantastic.
She really did. And I don't usually notice.
Me neither.
Stuff like that. Like, I'm not really that kind of gay, even though I just criticized someone's thing for not matching. But I guess I am that kind of gay. But, I don't find myself noticing people's makeup jobs. But this one, I was like, whoa, because they showed her being nervous about it. Like, Martha Plimpton in that New Year's movie where no one was going to show up, but then they all did. And then she got too drunk to enjoy the party. And she was like that, like really nervous, like a nerd inviting all the popular kids. She was kind of drawn like a comic book nerd character, you know, like really animated, kind of semi-cross-eyed maybe. Yeah. And then the makeup, I was like, oh my God, she's gorgeous.
She looked great. I liked her dress too. She looked great. And then meanwhile, also Caroline was getting ready with her sister-in-law, who used to be her, I mean, who is her friend too. And she lent, I forget the woman's name, but Caroline gave her earrings.
Marissa. Someone else.
Yeah. And she was like, if you lose these, I will literally remove an ovary and a child. And she will. Rania's like, oh, I wish I still had my second ovary, but I lost Caroline's earrings once.
I'll never forget the day I lost an earring, Mom. I would have had someone to spend the holidays with. Mom.
Bad news, Mom. Lost another set of earrings. I guess no children for me now. Here's the second ovary.
The orphanage is a fool, Mom. Oh. Everybody's lost your earrings.
I lost me another set of earrings. Bad news, Mom.
The entire country is now sterile, Mom. Everybody's lost your earrings.
It's like, that's terrible news. Fire them! Fire all of them! No lunch!
Do you
no
at least have.
You, Valentina, blame England!
Do you at least have some jelly tarts for me? Oh, ma'am. Pauline ate them all. Pauline? Forward. Enter. Sit down. You're fired.
Wacky white cream and fur. That's my next note. White and cream and fur. I don't know why I wrote that.
Oh, probably because Caroline Fleming walked in. Well, actually, what I loved is that Caroline Fleming walks in and she's like kissing. She walks up to, I think it was Annabelle's friend, and they kiss on the cheeks, like, oh, hello, hello, hello. And they mwah, mwah. And then she's like, I'm Caroline. And then she hands out her hand. I'm like, don't you, if you know, don't know someone, don't you normally like do the handshake first? You don't do like the kiss on the cheeks.
And then that's how they would expect me to do it, because I'm a royal, but I'm one of the people. And to me, kissing before personality judgments, because we are all one. It's like kissing my own cheek. It's like cheeks debating. If we'd all spend more time cheeks debating, there would be less laundry to do at the end of the week. Thank you.
Cheeks debating. So everyone arrived in the suite, and then they all went downstairs for dinner. And there was this beautiful table. Everyone was like, oh, this table is just absolutely beautiful. Caroline Fleming was probably very confused. She's like, where are the massive structures in the middle of the table? Why is there not a bookcase on top of the table? I don't understand this table setting.
Like, leave it up to royalty to be eating at a dinner where there's nothing to obstruct my view of another's face. Now, I will not be able to judge them by their spirituality alone, but only by their face.
Also, I wanted to say, as a gay who's not ever noticing this kind of thing, because I'm not one of those, the dress on Caroline killed me. It's like Jessica Rabbit, gorgeous, va-voom, her boobs were out, looked fucking beautiful.
Which Caroline?
Non-hippie Caroline. Like,
oh, yeah. Yo, I loved her dress. Is that white thing? Yeah.
Yeah, so beautiful. And when she was in there, her husband came in and he's like, darling, I forgot my dresses. And she's like, oh, leave it. Oh, because she was calling Marissa. Yes, she was texting Marissa or something, who forgot to get dressed. I don't know.
She forgot her dress.
What a moron. What an imbecile. And then her husband's like, I forgot my trousers. She said, isn't that? I just find it hilarious that here I am going on about how stupid someone is for forgetting something. And then my own husband comes in here without trousers.
Guess we better hire another nanny for my husband.
Exactly. I just loved it. She's like, I can't do everything in the instructions department. I need an assistant to write instructions for the other assistants. My husband won't show up about trousers.
Pauline, bring my husband his trousers.
Pauline.
Valentina.
Get the trousers out of your mouth. Valentina, it was one lunch you had to skip, Valentina.
Valentina, spit out the trousers. Get your teeth off the trousers. Pauline, get the trousers out of Valentina's mouth. Valentina?
Body into,
Valentina, here's a hanger. Put your teeth around the hanger. Chew. Now chew, Valentina. Rania?
You've got the body of a Simpson. You've got the body of Homer Simpson and the mentality of an Ethiopian, darling. You're not starving, all right. Check your resources, darling.
Pauline, we need these trousers to look good. All right, Pauline, fold. Fold again. Fold.
They brought me new trousers, darling, but Valentina ate, Valentina ate a swatch out of the knee. She's like, what an imbecile.
What an idiot. It's like I've hired a goat. Valentina, make me some goat's milk cheese. Pauline, milk Valentina.
Oh, so stupid.
Rania, ferment the cheese. Bad news, so, Mom. The fridge doesn't work.
I'm trying to see. Juliet intros Gregor, who's turning red. That's what I wrote. What does that mean, Ben?
Introducing her husband. I'm not sure. Well, what I...
Caroline was being awful. Oh, I guess because so Juliet was trying to introduce herself to the new people, and she's like... she was introducing her husband to the royalty, you know. So she's like, this is my husband. And she's like giving his resume.
Oh, yeah, she's like...
Caroline's like, this is so typical of Juliet. I know the owner and Juliet knows the busboy.
Yes, I actually laughed out loud when she said that. Because Juliet was saying, well, Caroline, you are actually from Denmark and my husband's been working in Stockholm. So, and then her husband's like, well, you know, same general region. Like, not everyone in all of Scandinavia knows each other. You know? It's like being like, well, this person's from Florida and this person's from Wyoming. So anyway, you guys should hit it off.
Yeah.
I have a gay cousin.
Yes.
But what Caroline was saying was that Juliet is really eager to, she's a social climber and she's trying to get in with Caroline Fleming, but basically Caroline Fleming doesn't give a shit about the London social scene because she's actually royalty. So she doesn't have to give a shit about the social scene. So Juliet is basically barking up the wrong tree. And I love how Juliet and Caroline were quote unquote bonding because Juliet kept on saying these things about yoga and Caroline Fleming was being so fake. And Juliet was like, you know, I feel like when we first met, like we would be totally best friends. I think we were meant to be friends, but then I thought, I don't actually really know you, but I'm looking forward to getting to know you. And I'm looking forward to talking. And Caroline Fleming's like, oh, we shall. We must. So patronizing. Oh, yes, darling. Yes. We absolutely will become friends. Absolutely, darling.
Lunch must do it. Let me know when they finally open a restaurant that allows bare feet. And we'll be there together, darling. Until then, don't call me. And Juliet's like, yeah, well, you know, we should hang out. Because, like, it would be so fun. Because, like, you like stuff. And I like stuff. And, like, being happy. And, like, I noticed, like, you smile. And I noticed it because, like, I look at myself. And sometimes I'm like, oh, my God, I like to smile, too. And then I was like, oh, my God, we should be friends. Because, you know, like, we both live in the same town. And, like, we're white. And, like, we know things. Yes. And, like, we have so much in common. Do you get hungry? I get hungry, too.
Oh, yes. Oh, you know, absolutely. Oh, yes. We absolutely have to be friends. Here. Why don't you join my professional LinkedIn network?
She's like, I just became friends with something called Jub.
Do you know who Jub is? I think it stands for Justine Bateman. But I don't know what her middle initial is. Is it Ursula? Justine Ursula Bateman? Is that who it was from Family Ties?
This is exactly the stuff I think about all day. We're going to have so much fun thinking about stuff like at the same time together in the same room.
Oh, we must. We absolutely must. Would you like me to bring some Cheetos on our play date?
So good. And so then it turns to Julie. How did it turn to Julie?
So here's what happened. Julie was like, guys... Who's doing yoga with me at 10 a.m.? And everyone's like, no. She's like, come on, guys. Come on. And then Juliet's like, oh, did you see this picture? And then they look at a picture of, I think it was Caroline, but it could have been, I think it was Caroline doing like a bridge. And then Julie's like, oh, my God. Why did you not IG this?
So good. And they're all like, I don't know, John. Why don't you just do it right now?
An IG right now? Oh, my God. You dare me.
Do you guys dare me to do an IG right now? Do you dare me? Do you dare me to do an IG right now? Dare me. Oh my God, she dared me. She totally dared me, you guys, to do an IG. She seriously did that.
Yeah.
She was going off, and then she goes to sit off with her own camera crew. And the reason I point that out is because it was hilarious watching the camera lights try to shift.
Yeah.
It's like this big, huge moment. She's like, I'm going to take an IG, guys. And then she sits down somewhere else and starts taking off her shoes.
She's like, don't triple dog dare me. Yeah, because they were going to do a headstand there, her and Caroline Fleming. And
so good.
She'd take her shoes off to do the stand. So then the big controversy of the episode, or the first big controversy, happened. So they are doing their headstands, and Caroline goes immediately into the headstand. But Julie, she takes her time because she says, as an instructor, that's what you do. You got to take your time because you're using your core more and it's harder. So Caroline makes, I think, actually a fairly benign joke. She's like, oh, I love how the yoga instructor is taking longer to get into the headstand, you know, which was funny because it's true because, you know, we don't know.
It was funny, but it was totally rude. And she had been doing it the whole night to Julie.
That wasn't the first thing.
She was mocking her the whole night. She's like, oh, yoga. Oh, God, I'd rather stab myself in the face with a...
Yeah, I mean, Caroline's like, I've never been to a formal party where a lady gets on her head. I mean, this is just absolutely ridiculous. I'd rather be eating a tub full of jub.
I'd rather have a free lunch sign over my eyes and let Valentina eat them off while I'm still living and go to a yoga class. So, like, what a waste of time.
Pauline, on your head, now.
All right, I'll be supportive. Pauline, head.
Valentina, is Pauline in the stock room? Tell her to come up here and get on her head. Now you, Valentina. Whoever falls first is fired. Go.
So they do this handstand thing, and not to just completely always stick up for Caroline, even though she's a total bitch, because she was really... I think she was really rude, but...
I don't think she was that rude.
Julie really never did get into the stand, which was awkward. She could not do it, and that was a long shot. And Hippie Girl did it in 2 seconds. Her feet were, like, right up in the air, perfectly pointed up, doing a great one, and the yoga instructor couldn't do it. That's why it was meaner that she was like, oh, look at that. One did it before the yoga teacher. Like, it was totally, totally mean because poor Julie just announced 20 times she's going to do this for IG, made everybody shift their attention for God knows how long all of this took, and never got into the pose, and then was publicly mocked. Like, it was embarrassing.
I don't know. I didn't think it was a public mocking. I thought it was basically like, it's funny because the teacher was taking longer. I mean, it wasn't saying that she's a bad teacher. It was funny.
It was funny. I was just funny.
Julie lost her shit. She went to another room and started sobbing. She's like, Caroline took such a dig at me. And by the way, that's my next product, Dig. It's going to go along with Jub. It stands for Dainty Island Gunk.
Grapefruits.
Grapefruits.
Dainty Island grapefruits. Like, I'm going to take a grapefruit, but I'm going to turn it into a piece of bread because it's going to go from a ball to something flat. I mean, it's crazy. I'm just going to keep changing the shapes of things.
So Annabelle goes to console her. Annabelle's like, there. And then...
there. Rock and roll.
You're crying as much as I cried when I lost Alexander!
So, she was literally, like, patting her on the head with, like, a fly swatter from a few feet away. She's like, there. I don't think she meant it like that. I was like, yes, she did. It was mean to me. I was a dick. Well, I don't know that.
She's darling. Like, stop crying before I put a dunce cap on your head. Then you'll know what real tears are.
But there's no chapter where a child jumps off a roof because someone made fun of a yoga pose, darling. Read the book.
So I love Caroline comes in. It's like, darling, I wasn't making fun of it. I didn't intend it like that. It was a dig. And I love Caroline's like, suddenly the woman is crying like the Titanic has taken her children. So dismissive. And then
she realized that it may have killed many children, but it saved Kathy Bates. How many people does it take before there's one grateful human being on this planet? That's what I ask you.
Stupid lady straight ahead.
We would have no misery if it weren't for Kathy Bates.
So then, on top of that, Caroline says, you know, she's basically talking about Julie crying. She's like, you know, she could have ruined my entire night if I wasn't me.
Good for you. That whole thing was hilarious because it's someone just wanting their feelings validated. Julie saw it, like, crying, and she's saying, I have my feelings hurt. That hurt. It was a dick. It was mean. She's like, no, darling, it wasn't mean. You're doing yoga at the end of the table. How is someone not going to comment on that and say something funny? It's not going to happen. But it hurt my feelings, and that was a dig. Darling, all I said was your... And she's like, yeah, but you said that I was a yoga teacher, and I didn't even know how to do the pose. She's like, yes, yes, I did say that. Yes, yes, I did. But I didn't mean it like that. She's like, yes, you did. It was a dig. She's like, all right, then. That's enough. I'm done. I'm leaving now. Yeah, I'm very sorry. The end. Yeah. End. Credit.
Rainier, get in here and console Julie for me. All right, Rainier, man.
Get in here with a bunch of words and just scroll them up until she understands. It's credits!
Julie, Mum says feel better. Bad news, Julie. No one cares anymore.
Poor Julie. And Julie just wants someone to be like, listen, I really like you and respect you, and I know you're working really hard, and it's not easy being a fucking yoga teacher when you thought you were going to be royalty living in a castle. This sucks. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I love you.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're asking some... You're asking a sandpit for a glass of water, darling. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, no. It's British high society. They're not all about touchy-feely things. They just say... I'm terribly sorry. Feel better. Goodbye.
The end.
Pauline, console her. Valentina.
Seat to care.
Bring her tissues. Tissues.
Tissues. Don't be a pussy. Okay, love you. It's like, that's the hug. Don't be a pussy.
Julie, consider this a backbone. Hug. Backbone.
Grow a pair.
Grow a pair. Grow a pair of
jumps.
How about
you unstrap a pair of those bowls from your knapsack in traffic and take them on to your lower regions, darling. Grow a pair, darling.
Grow a pair of jobs, why don't you?
Grow a pair of jobs, why don't you? That needs to be on a bumper sticker that no one will ever understand.
Yeah. I always feel like we're saying Juts, one of our listeners. Juts. Mm-hmm. Julie's Juts. Unbelievable tea zebras.
Juts is jobs.
So it's like, Happy New Year. Everything is, like, okay with Caroline.
Julia's like, this is just like when I was a kid. Like, here we are. We're, like, on a balcony of a really fancy hotel.
Yeah.
It's just like when I was a little kid. My family used to do this. Like, England. Yeah, fireworks in England. Yeah, wow. I was, like, being a kid. Okay, take my picture.
And then Marissa takes her picture, and she's, like... hunched over, like she does this pose where she hunches on her upper thigh with her fist, like a Greek cheerleading pose where you're the girl in the front and they're like hunched down girl in the front so we can see the people in the back, but there's no one in the back. Oh, Julie, please never be less awkward, darling.
Juliet's like, oh, she's like, this reminds me so much of when I was a kid because we weren't allowed to stay up late, so we would watch the fireworks from London instead. I'm like, London is like 7 hours ahead of Chicago. You're watching New Year's fireworks at 5 p.m.? I mean, that's absurd. Stupid.
Just like my family.
Childhood.
And then we'd go to bed and we'd unbuckle our belts and just sit there and stare at a wall and be like, wow, food, America.
Yeah, and remember all those times we celebrated Christmas down in San Juan, wherever.
We'd sit in our $57 million kitchen.
Yeah.
Watching football. Oh, Juliet. Please never change. I really actually like Juliet so much now. And I don't know how that happened because I used to want to just smack her. But I love her now.
Yeah,
she's so
too.
Ridiculous. I love all of them now. You know, it is weird about spending time with people you don't like. Eventually, you just start to like them.
So then Caroline comes out. Now it's the after party. Annabelle has disappeared. It's after her old lady. She's like, I'm such a rebel. I'm going to sleep at 12:02 like all rebels. So Caroline pulls out all these onesies, these really awesome onesies. Caroline's in a unicorn. She gives out a kangaroo, which she calls a koala for some reason. And she says the reason why she does it is because Marissa's always pulling out these little silly hats and whatever. And then Caroline goes, Do I think she's better than me in any way? Absolutely not. I'm better than them all.
That's right, Mom. You're the best, Mom.
You're the best, Mom. And I'm feeling best.
Here's some more jelly tarts for your mum.
There's one thing that I haven't been going on about, which I want to. First of all, the sister-in-law's name is Sophie, And we know that she's going to be amazing because they keep showing her, even though she doesn't say anything. Like,
well,
the
first of all, she's beautiful.
She's gorgeous.
So
the editors keep showing shots of her. I mean, she's been in the past, I think, all the episodes. It's only episode three, right?
Yeah.
So she's been in all the episodes so far, but she hasn't said anything, yet they keep showing her. She's not like someone that they just ignore, like most of them. So you knew, we should have known she was going to be fucking amazing. And sure enough, this episode is when she starts, and it all starts at the kiss on the balcony. It's New Year's, and everybody starts kissing. Sophie kissed people way too hard and way too long.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm surprised.
Drunk lesbian.
Yeah, I'm
it's
surprised.
Like the, she, yeah, I'm sorry, Ben.
I was going to say, I'm surprised she didn't start making out with one of the gargoyles on the building. Like, hello, love. Come on, give us a kiss. Happy New Year's, gargoyle.
Oh, that was totally sorority lesbian. Like, we're so drunk. We're going to make out. I loved it. And then she proceeded to get more and more shit-faced.
Uh-huh.
And they all got shit-faced, which was great. And then as she got more and more shit-faced, she got more and more belligerent. And I was like, this season is about to take a turn into amazing.
Next episode, she'll be really belligerent. This was the fourth episode, by the way. And next week, she'll be really crazy. But before, there was a cliffhanger. Because Caroline, at one point, is standing over Juliet's husband in her her unicorn outfit and doing pictures. And Juliet's like, wait, are you straddling my husband? That's not right. There are certain boundaries. And Caroline's like, not when you dress as a unicorn and your husband said he loved it. And she's like, meh. That's a to be continued. You know, it's a classic drunken argument.
Yeah, it was drunken, and she was humping the husband, and the husband's laying there on the couch, like he's lying down, and his eyes are bleary-eyed and drunk, and he's just looking on confusedly, and Juliet's like, look, I know, like, you're funny, and, like, that's your thing, and you're like, haha, I'm funny, but, like, that's my husband, so...
I don't think that Juliet gets to talk about protocols, okay? Social protocols, that's just not Juliet's wheelhouse, okay? Just be happy that you have fancy British friends right now, okay?
Yeah, and if somebody else is humping your husband, at least she's doing it on a couch in a living room instead of a restaurant, which would be violating your family's needs. also, I mean, we could just do a whole thing on Caroline's lines, but when she walked off and was like, enough crying, I'm done, goodbye. And Julie sat there sobbing like a mess in the hallway or whatever.
Yeah,
they got to Caroline and she goes... I don't know. She should namaste her way out of this one.
Oh, Lord. She should have, actually. Or she should have at least corrected Caroline. Or I don't know. Like there, she's very thin-skinned. She's very sweet. I really love Julie, but she needs to... you know, the thing is this. I've been friends with Carolines before. I've been friends with people with very sharp, acerbic wits. And they do get you. They will get you. It's usually not a healthy relationship. And... get out while the getting's good. You don't need Caroline. I mean, we love her, but I don't think I'd want to be friends with her in that capacity.
Yeah, well, look, as someone with a sharp tongue myself...
No, but you're not the same. Listen, I've had...
I know that she's much more intelligent, darling. But, like, as I tend to have the quality where I hurt feelings and don't mean to all the time, and my friends really do, I see them get, not hurt, but annoyed that I don't shut up. Like, right. It's very difficult, I think, when you have a mouth sometimes like that to not shut up. It's difficult. You know, it takes some work, darling. Yeah. And I do work on it, and Caroline doesn't. And that's why she's my hero, because she's like, I need to work on nothing. I feel plenty, and you're an idiot. Goodbye.
Yeah.
I'm sick of
watching
you cry.
I love her. I love her.
Yeah, I do too. Saying. That's why she's my hero.
Yeah. So let's move on to Below Deck. So we were going from, we're doing like we did last week, upstairs to downstairs.
Uh-huh. Let's do it, Ben. I love going downstairs. It's the up part that's the horrible part. Thankfully, we're ending on this, and I can just sleep in the, what do you call it, the galley, the basement?
Yeah,
what is it?
That's right, the galley. Or something like that. Steerage. The episode began with Emil working his awkward game on Rocky again.
Okay, you know what? Since today is a day of me saying what I've been wrong about, because I did it on Big Brother 2, Ben... You yes. are such a smart television watcher, I have to say.
Why?
You, when you predict shit, you do it right every time. You're almost always right, and I'm never right. And it
thank
makes
you.
Me jealous.
What did I predict?
In this case, last week, I was saying but Emil was just not into it, and he was going to bed, and she was pathetic and curled up in the fetal position on the floor, and he was like, bye, bitch. And you were like, no, I think he likes her. I was like, no. Like, I was being awful. You're so right. He does like her. He liked her that whole time.
Ronnie, I wasn't predicting anything. It was, like, blatantly stated on the show, and for some reason, I think you must have missed that moment, because you were like, no, he hates her, and she's desperate. I'm like, no, he was going for her, and she was like, please go away. She said it on the show.
The vibe I got, I didn't hear that, and the vibe I got from it was that he got so drunk because it was awkward, and then it got more awkward, and then he was like, it got more awkward from when she jumped in the ocean, and he was finally just like, okay, you're in the fetal position, I'm going to bed. But that wasn't the case.
Yeah, no, well, she was trying to get away from
him. I misread somebody's emotional state. What a shock.
You know what makes me sad on reality TV shows? When there's someone, like, really hot and sexy, and then over the course of the season, you realize that they are dorky and, like, in not the good way, and they have no game, and they suddenly cease being sexy. And you're like, oh, but you were so sexy, and now it's gone. And that's basically Emil. He's like, hey, Rocky. So, your name's Rocky. How about you rock on my penis, huh? She's like, no thanks.
Yeah, and even furthering that, when you start seeing through the... Like, when you get to know someone that hot, and you start seeing through the cracks, it's amazing how your actual eyes see something physically different. Because he's just the same. Like, the guy couldn't have changed too much physically from last week to this. But last week, he was, like, perfect model, beautiful looking to me. And this week, I was like, he could use a teeth whitening. Like, it's so weird. Funny. Like, these weird judgments come into my actual eyeballs. Like, they're taking over the physical world, Ben.
Yeah, he, like, when he first started on the show, he just seemed like, he seemed to me this tall, strapping Adonis of a man. It's like, wow. And he just seemed so, like, you know, it was just awe-inspiring. And now I'm like, oh, he looks so short. And he's so young and awkward, and oh, he's like a little like teenager. And it's like, whoa, he looks exactly the same, but like my perspective has totally changed on him.
By the end of the episode, I really loved him because now I see him as just a vulnerable dodo bird, even
exactly,
though he's
but it's
hot.
Not sexy anymore. He's just like, oh, sweet.
Right. Like, I tend to look at that guy and think, ugh, that privileged fuck. He's 20. He's gorgeous. He's blonde. Like, he has everything. And that's, you know, I tend to look at it from maybe like a resentful, bitter, jealous place. And then, like, actually getting to know him, I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, I guess he has some advantages. But at the end of the day, he's just another insecure dude who just wants love, you know? Oh, yeah. Hugs, everybody. Let's hug.
I like Kate. Right at the beginning of the episode, Kate's like, oh, Emil, he's so dumb. I know I just did a Shannon Medora voice, but, you know, I have only like three voices in my repertoire.
Well, if Kate had found one of those rich married men to marry, she might have been, you know, she might have had a Bluetooth chandelier that she could control from her iPhone. Bin.
Exactly.
You never know.
Meanwhile, Emil is announcing to, I think it was to Amy or someone, that he's going to go to California because that's where Rocky's family is. It's like, oh, Emil, no. You lost
Rocky. Yeah, Rocky. I'm going to get to California to meet Rocky's family.
Meanwhile,
they show Rocky ironing, and she's like, I hate him. I hate him so much. Yeah. He's gross. Thanks for killing my vagina boner.
Yeah. I mean, the reason why she became a better laundry person this episode is clearly she'd rather be down there hiding away from Emil doing laundry than hearing his advances.
Mm. And my snap judgments, of course, change again. And guess why? Musicals. Look, if I'm calling you like some failed dinner theater ensemble person, by the way, which is me, if I'm calling you that, it's usually because I resent people that are not singing during the day and being the stars that they are. And she's actually now, she's like, okay, my life sucks. So I'm just going to make it all fun. It's a musical. Every time they show her, she's like, I'm ironing in a shirt in a small town in Oklahoma. No one loves me. When do I get married? And now I'm like, okay, I like you now. Good job.
Yeah.
I'll have the salmon.
Yeah. I also liked Amy. She was doing really exciting things. For instance, we saw Amy slicing pizza.
Say it again.
Amy was slicing pizza. And then we saw her playing Wii tennis alone and losing.
After the part, the Wii tennis was my favorite because it followed the scene where Rocky comes in and she's like, Amy goes, How's your day
with Emile? He's so groovy and cool and handsome. How'd it go? And Rocky's like, oh, what a loser. I mean, this is a fail. What a failure. Maybe I'll do Eddie next.
Yeah.
Eddie was the first one to walk in the room. He's like, Mallory? Has anybody seen Mallory? Okay, I'll go back upstairs. And she's like, oh, yeah, well, maybe I'll do that guy now. And Amy, like, just drops her head because she likes him. And then Amy's always losing.
She's like, I guess I'll have another slice of pizza.
And then it cuts to Amy playing the Wii, looking like she's flicking around her wrist angrily.
I know.
Loved it.
And losing,
like,
of course.
I'm going to get this out on some tennis.
She's like, I've been playing Wii tennis for 5 years, and I still can't win a game.
Oh, wow, what a shocker. Even in Wii tennis, I'm second place.
Hey, why are all your Nintendo Mii characters talking about me behind my back? I'm sorry I'm not a good tennis player, but you don't have to talk about it. I just want to be part of y'all. I want to be part of the tennis league.
How come every time I'm trying to design my Wii character, there's not a hairstyle that works?
Yeah,
I mean,
what
the heck?
Eddie, you want to play tennis with me? No? Okay.
He's like, I'm going to actually go talk on the phone to my fake girlfriend in Canada while she fake plays Wii. So...
Oh, God. Oh, Eddie and his girlfriend. They have such a terrible relationship. I mean, that's just got to end right now. I also liked Kate being angry at Leon again. This was another episode where she was so annoyed at him. Because I guess, once again, the charter guests were like, we'd like some lobster. And he's like, all right, I'll make some beef cheeks. She's like, this is the second charter in a row that he wants to serve beef cheeks.
Yeah.
This is the second charter he's serving beef cheeks. How about doing something new, like filet or a steak?
She's like, I love Kate's idea of, like, something new and groundbreaking.
Yeah. A filet or a steak.
Or a cheeseburger. Anything. Not beef cheeks.
I love that you keep doing Shannon Beador as Kate.
I know. Well, their voices are actually...
If you've got 9 lemons, use one for a drink and put 8 in the freezer in case some chef from a Walmart boat wants to come on and start bossing you around.
Leon. Well, actually, Shannon Beador is like this, and Kate is like... Kate is like this, sort of. I don't know. I can't tell anymore.
I think of Kate as more of...
She's
like
Kate
a Countess
speaks
Luan
a little bit like...
without the...
Well, she speaks a little bit like this. I think that Kate speaks a little bit like this, and Shannon speaks a little bit like this. So there is a difference between Kate and Shannon. David.
Yeah, they're similar. I mean, all of my Shannon and all of those, they're all in the Chief Wiggum family.
There's basically like a spectrum of Shannon Beador, and all my impersonations fall there, except for Rainier.
Yeah, I basically have 5 character voices that I just tailor to each individual show. It's like color by terrible numbers.
Yeah, I have the Shannon Beador spectrum. I have the Kristen Vanderpump Rules spectrum. The sound.
Yeah.
And
Justice.
Then maybe one other. Justice, Megan, Shannon.
And Chef Penny, which is really absolutely fabulous.
Chef Penny is pretty much every British person. I mean, Caroline, Chef Penny, they're the same voice. It's a Vanderpump.
Oh, so good. And this one is getting more fun to mock because they are really just becoming so much more character-y, and it's fun to watch because this show... As I was complaining about Big Brother earlier, I think this show is realer, even if it's all written. Like, even if the entire thing was basically outlined and written, which it probably is, it's realer to me because they really are in close quarters and they really are going fucking crazy.
And they have to work. And they have to do real work, too.
Yeah.
That's why, I mean, there are clearly people on the show that are there to work and because they know how to work, etc. And then there's some that are... purely cast, like Rocky, when she's like, I hate the laundry closet. Like, bitch, you're a maid. Mm-hmm. You're a maid. That's what you signed up to do, okay?
And so this was a really amazing episode because it showed transition, which usually doesn't happen. And it shows real-life transition. I don't know if you've ever seen The Horse Whisperer, but that horse was a bitch, okay? Mm. And then Robert Redford came in, and he was like, shh, shh. Like, he was, like, whispering. And he was like, and the horse is like, hey, and like kicking people and stuff. And like that Kristen lady was all upset. And then Robert just kept whispering like Kate does, like but in her non-whisper, and he kept whispering, and finally, the horse is broken, you can fucking ride it. And that horse was ironing sheets by the end. It's like, I love ironing sheets!
Yeah.
This is the best goddamn job I've ever had!
I know, and Kate's like, oh, I didn't even realize this was a fitted sheet. Good job.
Yeah, and Kate, you see, Kate will give credit when it's due. She's like, you are amazing. These sheets are amazing. You're never leaving the laundry room. Congratulations. You're the best ironer ever. Okay, I'm locking the door behind me. High five.
Bye.
Rocky's like, you're locking the door.
I smell the beef cheeks.
I felt like a maid, and now I feel like a maid star.
So then the guests arrive, and you can tell immediately that they'll just be awful. You just know. They look like the sort of people that would be on Bar Rescue or something like that.
As the people, like, the bar needs to be rescued from.
Yeah. They're like, we want Don Julio 1942. Kate's like, well, we don't have any Don Julio 1942. I was like, well, we need the Don Julio 42.
It was on a preference list. They were all basically Juicy Joe.
Yeah. They were.
Like, so what? Who cares? Where's the 1942? Where is it? So what? Who cares?
Yeah, this boar basically spent the entire episode opening beers with his teeth. It was, and every time, Amy would be like, oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, gosh. You want to play some Wii? Oh, no. Never mind. Never mind. Even I won't play Wii with you.
I was just thinking, you know that this guy has amazing dental because he's rich and he's cracking his fucking beers open with his, he must have like porcelain teeth, right? I don't think your real teeth can do that.
I'm sure if you like get the right angle, you just can, but I still thought it was
two broken teeth, really corn stupid. Chips, pussy teeth.
Oh, darling.
Teeth, Ben.
I would never, ever do that with my delicate teeth.
My teeth need to grow a pair of jubs.
Yes. Yes, I need some jubs on the teeth. Hey, Mum, would you like me to open up your beer with my teeth?
Bad news, Mum.
Bad news.
There's a jub stuck in the crack in your tooth, Mum.
Bad news, Mum. I spoke to Nathan. He can't open your beer bottle anymore with his teeth.
Anyway,
so there was a lot
where I am because my notes are weird and I'm writing things down like, no wonder I've never respected this boat. And now that I think about it, first saw the boat, I was like, there's something so seedy about this boat. I think because it's like so 80s.
It looks
like
very cheesy.
Yeah, it looks like an old set from the Golden Girls. Like, it's just not cute.
Yeah, but I agree.
The real reason being is because I'm sure there's like another one, but the adult bookstore I knew as a teenager in El Paso, Texas, which was where I first saw disgusting perverts all over the place, where I really understood what a disgusting pervert is. Not that anybody who goes to a bookstore is one, all right? You know what I mean, everybody. So,
some of you are non-disgusting perverts.
Like me, I still go, you know? You've got to get your lube somewhere, darling. The Target lube will have you feeling like a letter being licked. You know, it's like horrible glue.
Anyway, hear those adult bookstores are the number one retailers of jubs.
Where else are you going to fuck a jub? So where else are you going to swallow a pair of decent, healthy jubs?
Blow jub.
So anyway, the adult bookstore there is named Eros, which is the name of this boat, and it's all over everything. It's the, you know, it's the logo on everything. Yeah. And now I'm like, oh, that's why, because you're a dirty bookstore on Airport Boulevard. Damn it.
I like the boat from last season more. Yeah, this one feels a little cheesy. You know, because they always do a tour. Every single episode, it's like we've never seen the boat before. They're like, oh, here's the master suite, and here's the sky lounge, and here's this. It just, everything looks very 80s, I agree. And the master suite, the quote-unquote, like, two-floor master suite, it's just, there's a staircase to get up to the bed. That's it. It's not like there's, like, a loft or something like that.
Yeah.
So I reject that.
The bathrooms have to be a little bit smaller, but we do still have three tiles on the floor, and each one of them has a picture of Pat Sajak's face. So enjoy peeing. Yeah, baby, pee.
Yeah, yeah, baby. And here in our sky lounge, you'll see our wall of glass bricks. It's very modern touch.
Glass bricks.
With some purple highlights. Yes.
Over here, you will see half of a Volkswagen Beetle that has been chopped in half and glued to the wall, so it looks like it's crashing out of it. we call this room the Gadzooks room. Please feel free to enjoy the t-shirts.
And we really hope that you enjoy our asymmetrical furniture in the shapes of triangles and
squares and circles, and of course, our checkerboard floor is a big attraction to many people.
Listen, we want you to know that we don't want the title of the room to think you can take it. It's rooms to go, but in the end, it stays here. So just wanted to get that ground rule out there. the guests were like, where's the 1942? And I was actually very surprised because Kate, who's up everybody's ass all the time about being the perfect stew, forgot. She didn't forget it. She just said that a lot of times people put things on their preference list and they usually don't ask for them. So if it's not something necessary, she's just like, fuck it, I don't buy it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, that was a little surprising because she's normally a stickler for that. She always is coming down on Leon for that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But big drammer. There was another issue with the fender. Every episode, there's an issue with the fender. And this time, Emil got the fender in the way of Captain Lee. He's like, get that fender out of the way. I can't see. Can't see behind. Get that fender down. And there's like commercial break.
It's
like,
dun,
will
dun,
they be able dun, to get the dun, fender down? Will the yacht crash into the dock?
It's like horror music. What's going on out there? We're about to hit the dock. All right, what's going on? Get that thing out of my face. Get it out of my face.
Every episode, we're going to die.
Where's the rope? Who's untying the rope? Who's got the rope? God damn it. We're going to die. We're all going to die.
Every episode, they play like the Terminator music, and they're like, there's a buoy. We got to clear the buoy. All right, we have an entire bay. We just have to make sure we don't hit that one buoy. And it's like, dun, 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 dun. The buoy's coming. All right, there's a buoy. Get there. Oh, I really should have been there because the buoy's coming. God, get the fin out of the way. There's a buoy coming. Oh, I need to see the buoy. I can't the buoy. Oh. And then they're like, all right, good job, everyone. We didn't hit the buoy. And there's like 300 feet between them and the buoy.
I'm back. That's the captain starring in the Terminator to me.
Yeah. Hasta la vista, baby.
Hasta la vista.
Hey, John Connor, I'm going to give you a one-way ticket off this boat into death because I'm a Terminator. It's a Terminator who really likes to really elaborate on his plans. Kate's Linda Hamilton.
So good. Okay, so we knew this episode was going to be an odd one because it opens talking about weather. And that's never a good start to a conversation. Yeah. So I was really scared of the episode, but we're like halfway through now, and I've really enjoyed it so far.
Well, actually, so now there's big news because a new deckhand arrived. His name is Dane, and he shows up on the boat, and the women are all up on the upper deck looking down. It was like a recreation of the Diet Coke commercial with Lucky Vanus or whatever his name was.
What was it? Tell me about the commercial. I need to live it.
A super famous commercial from the 90s where it was like 12:30 p.m. Uh-oh, it's time for that construction worker to take his Diet Coke break. And this
beautiful
supermodel with his shirt off drinks his Diet Coke and all the women watch. And they're like, oh, it's, of course, one of the best commercials of all time.
Yeah, I remember now. I didn't remember it was about Diet Coke, and that's what you get for selling sex with your commercials.
That's
right. Like, once I climax, I never think about it again until it's next time to climax. Sorry, Diet Coke. But sorry. I don't go buy sodas when I've got a boner.
But then, well, Kate got a boner. She's like, he's cute. You know, he's very pale. But once we get him a tan, he'll be really cute. We're going to get him a tan. I was like, Kate, okay, you just need to calm down. Calm down, Kate.
I was so thrilled with the new boy, and he is cute. But those girls were falling all over themselves. So funny.
Yeah.
What do you think he's like? What do you think he does?
You think he plays Wii tennis? Ooh. I got a controller right here in my bouffant. You want to play?
Well, I finally played Wii tennis with him, and when he had to say 14 love, he refused to say love. I mean, what is it about me? He just kept saying zero.
I was like, love all, and he's like, sorry, deuces, and I was like, what do you mean? So then we see the guests. The guests are like, meanwhile, the guests are out on the island. They're on land. And the classy guests that they are, they're getting Funyuns and opening more bottles with their teeth. And meanwhile, on the boat, Leon has decided to make dinner early. Because he says this whole thing like, well, you know, I like to be ahead of it or whatever. Da, ba, 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 ba. So Leon makes dinner early.
He wants to go to bed.
Yeah, and Kate's like, well, the guests are not here yet, so You know, why are you making dinner? And he's like, well, you know, we need more communication. If you're gonna, you know, I'm sitting here cooking, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, but zero communication. You can't just not tell me to cook something and expect me to stop cooking and not cooking. Yeah, I mean, what are you talking about? Communicate. She's like, I never communicated that it's time to start dinner, which is the point.
He's like, well, I guess this all stuff is in the oven and dry out. All right, well, it's your fault. She's like, I don't see how it's my fault that you started to cook dinner early. So then, of course, this is perfect reason for Kate to drag out her favorite talking point against Leon. She's like, well, a yacht charter chef would never do that. He's used to cruise ships where you have a schedule. He's a cruisy.
Yep. Oh, you've got to love maid pride, darling. It's like,
maid pride.
God, I love it. You know I'm standing there screaming, maid fight! Maid fight!
And Amy's
Valentina,
like...
Valentina, get in here. Bring the dustbuster.
Valentina, reheat. Pauline... freeze it.
All right, I want you both to set the micro time at the same time, and then I want to see which goes off first. Press start. Start.
Pauline, take Valentina's food and put it in the freezer. Valentina, you wait there till it's frozen. Then Pauline, you defrost it. And if it doesn't stand the test of the defrosting, then you're both fired.
Well, Pauline, it's like the Walmart of microwavers.
Bad news, Mum. Food got some frostbite.
Oh, good. I think you mean some freezer burn. Yes, ma'am. I meant freezer burn. Get off my ship.
Drown.
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 Slowly. Slowly. Deeper. Slow. Rania, slower.
Rania, you're taking breaths.
Don't fight. Silent. Silent.
Air is water. Let life go. Drown.
Drown. Valentina, oh my God. Save Rania now.
Resist the gag reflex. Drown.
Pauline, resuscitate Rania and Valentina. All right, now you all just sit here and think about what you've done. Get off my yacht now. Get in the little boat. You can take a fender if you want, but better be inflated when I get back.
Guys! I got someone hanging off the side of the boat. I got a chubby lady in glasses holding onto a fork full of chicken salad hanging off the side of the boat. Get it out of my way.
Guys, I think that Igor is on one of our lifeboats. Can you please get Igor off the lifeboat?
A boat with a Valentina attached to the side crashed into a dock where a man was trying to take the cap off a bottle with his teeth and the shaking forced him to gouge out his own eyes. Story at 5.
Valentina, here's what I want you to do. I want you and Pauline to go down to steerage, gouge out your eyes and curl into a ball, all right? Good.
Where's the 1942? No, you don't have 1942? Where's the that's all we wanted. You ruined our trip. With the 1942. We would be happy if we had 1942. Oh, it's all over now. What's the 1942?
How y'all doing today?
We don't have 1942.
Well, sometimes people make these things. They're called mistakes. And they don't mean to make them. But you just accept them. You say, it's okay. And you pat them on the head and tell them they're pretty, even if you don't want to date them.
1942. 1942.
Hey, the show. I love it.
Meanwhile, by the way, it's funny they're saying that about Amy. Because after the whole Leon thing with starting dinner too early, Amy and Kate were talking about it. Amy's like, hey, he's a little too fire happy. And Kate just goes, trigger happy. You are so cute.
The hand gestures made it.
Really made it. You're really adorable, Amy. Could you redo the batteries in the Wii remotes? I don't know how they charge down so quickly, but could you do that? Oh, I was playing by myself. Oh, of course you were.
Well, that's why only one handle is dirty. Please just go wipe that one down with. And then just make Rocky do the rest when you're done.
So then...
Please ask Rocky to iron the Wii. I'm gonna iron a Wii.
Hey, y'all, where's the Wii remote? I threw it in the ocean. So then we saw Eddie texting with his girlfriend, being like, hey, where are you? And then Rocky was flirting with Dane. And this is when Emil's like, oh, I don't get jealous. I'll just back off and the girls come back to me.
Yeah, because most of the girls you give attention to are needy and... I don't know. It's not like you're picking the supermodels, darling, you know? Sometimes you pick the hungriest person because you know they're going to eat the biggest plate of your food.
Darling, just because Rocky goes on a boat with the people to the mainland and they come back does not mean that she's coming back for you, okay? I'm just trying to get back on the yacht.
He's like, last time I saw her, she was going in the fetal position, which means she wants me to impregnate her with a baby. I'm so handsome. Crawl back, just like a baby. Babies. Babies try and leave me, and then they end up crawling back. Because babies don't know how to walk a meal.
You know, you've never seen a boomerang that didn't love me. Every time I throw one, it always comes back to me. They just love me, those boomerangs.
Yeah, it's like a letter you put it. You forget to put a stamp on. You know, you send it, it just keeps coming back to me.
You ever see a yo-yo? Oh, don't worry about it. It always comes back to my hand. So then Leon and Kate are still bickering a little bit, and Leon's like, yeah, that could be more communication. And Kate's like, yeah, we'll work on our communication to each other. That's a great idea, Leon. Great.
Mid-fight continues.
Mid-fight.
So it's like, I've got a spatula, and you've got a Swiffer sweeper. All right, spatula wins. Get out of my face, mongrel.
Spatula. Spatula wins. Rock, paper, spatula.
It's like, that spatula still has the QE2 logo on it. Tacky.
That's not a yacht spatula.
Newsflash, the queen couldn't afford it to take this yacht out. Okay.
Anyone who's worked on a yacht knows that you don't use a spatula, you use a fish turner. So then it's at night and the guests want Dane to get in the hot tub. And Dane's like, yeah, I'm a water baby. I'm like, oh no, not another one of these water babies. Now there are two of them. No wonder why they like each other.
Yeah, I'm lucky because I grew up, you know, like wealthy and like everything was cool. And then like, instead of going to college, I was like, you know what? Yachting is like, it's a channel, and it's a channel into like everything. And like, so that's why I like did it, you know, like otherwise I'm chill and like surfing. I cracked up. I was like, you don't say, darling. You like surfing? I'm shocked.
Yeah.
I'm shocked. Like, yeah, pretty much just like chill and surfing. I was like, yep.
Yep.
Didn't see that one coming.
So then Dane gets into his bathing suit and it's like, oh, Emil is totally going to rat him out. And sure enough, Emil rats out Dane. And then, so Dane doesn't get in the hot tub. And he's like, that's probably a smart idea. You want to play some Wii tennis with me? Mm-hmm. No? Okay.
You're not going to be able to beat me on the Wii if you're fired. Think of it that way.
You want to do Wii hot tub? It's a game I've been working on.
Wii hot tub. Oh, well, we'll have to wait for Rocky to get out of there. She's like, anybody know I'm in here?
More tensions rise between Kate and Leon, because then Kate continues to talk about Leon. Leon's like in the next room over, and Kate's like, he has been on a cruise ship. He has not been on a yacht. He's been on cruise ships, and he doesn't know anything. He doesn't know anything about it. If he were on a yacht, he would understand our culture.
And Emil's like, well, you know, he's a real nice guy, and I like him. I think he does a great job. I'm going to stick up for him. He's a good guy.
Yeah, Leon's listening in on everything. Amy must love that. She's like, oh, my favorite thing to do is listen when people are talking about me and then being mad at them. Y'all talking about me right now? No, all right.
And Kate doesn't even bat an eyelash. She's like, well, I'm glad you're friends.
Hopefully it can get you a coupon for whatever buffet-style dinner they have on a Walmart ship. Okay, enjoy that. Have fun.
Yeah. You guys can go to Costco together and get those $1.50 hot dogs and have a great little friend date.
Oh, just a word of advice. If you're going to go there, they don't have bags. So you might want to take your own.
Yeah, that's something that Leon probably doesn't know on the cruise ship. We always carry a bag on yachts.
So what else even happened in this? That was their fight. Kate called around until she got the 1492. She's like, arrived. Whatever, I am dedicated and I will find it. And she did. Someone
she
bought
did,
it.
And they were all very impressed. It was very dramatic. It arrived.
Oh, my 1942! You guys is the best! I love you guys! 1942! Look, guys, they got 1942! Oh, 1942! Wow, 1942, you guys! 1942!
And then he proceeded to uncork it with his teeth.
He has no teeth by the end of this episode. And then they left, and this guy gave them a huge tip of $25,000, which was pretty cool. And then it was. Then we segued into Eddie having drama with his lady. He hasn't heard from his lady. It's like, you know, you guys are so dysfunctional. She's clearly out cheating with the on you. Cheating like with, I don't know what. I think
he's going to be cheating. That's my prediction.
He should.
And he was in the hot tub with the captain. And they were, because everybody got the night off. So he spent some time with the captain in the hot tub. And they're talking, and he's talking about his relationship. And the captain goes, yeah, nah, look, a relationship, you're supposed to be in a relationship because they're supposed to be happy, okay? My wife, you know, she doesn't say a thing about anything because she knows that, you know, that's what it is. That's it.
She would never put a fender in my way. She knows to keep them off the side so I can see the buoy.
And, you know, if there is a fender there, you know what she does? She moves it. That's it. There's no, you know, there's no unhappiness. She does it, and I'm happy. And that's the end. You know, it's a relationship. And Alex is like, yeah, he's my mentor. I'm going to cheat on my girlfriend. Yeah.
And he's
like, what ends up happening.
Yeah, he's basically like, yeah, you know, she cheated on me. And, you know, everything's like, we have a pretty fucked up relationship. But, you know, she means a lot to me. I'm like, yeah, sounds like it. It's like, who else are you going to yell at?
Relationship trouble.
I know. So then, speaking of relationship trouble, the whole gang, except for Captain Lee, goes out to mainland. They go to a bar, and they're having fun and dancing. And Emile, like, Rocky is, like, hanging with Dane, and Emile keeps on trying to get with Rocky. And because Emile is so smooth, this is the line he uses on her. I want to fuck you so bad. Great. Great, Emile. Great work
there. I want to fuck you up tonight real bad in every hole, every pore, okay?
I want to stick my penis in your vagina. How about that? And we'll do it in California in front of your parents.
I'm making a finger gun. I'm going to finger bang you. She's it? Like, yeah, it's right.
She's like, ah, exit stage left.
She's like, oh, Emile, you're a good guy. But I don't like you because you didn't have sex with me when I was ready.
She's like, Brigadoon, Brigadoon, I'm going to disappear for 12 years, Emile.
She's like, just because it's not Act 2 doesn't mean you can wear the same costume.
When you meet a guy. Shirt.
Sorry.
I need a man with a change of shirts for different nights out on the town.
For it's good old reliable Emile, 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 please go away, bye.
Oh, Emile, poor guy.
I know. What I was
on top of the world, and now he can't even bottom it.
He's on top of the world, but not on top of Rocky. Now, my question is this. Then the episode ended, but last week the previews showed Emile and Dane fighting over a bracelet that Emile's sister gave him, and it was not in the episode. So where is the bracelet controversy? That's what I would like to know. And I think no one else wants to know. So anyway,
I didn't even notice that, the bracelet controversy. Whose bracelet?
Well, Dane made a joke, and in the preview, Emile's like, no, my sister gave me that bracelet, so you know what? You really have to be quiet. And he's like, oh, sorry.
Oh, because I think he was like, that bracelet's dumb.
it was
something totally simple, and he's like, my sister gave me that bracelet, and also you're having sex with the girl I wanted to have sex with. Like,
maybe
I'll
next. Maybe
it'll... through my sister's bracelet. Mm.
I went back, and I watched the preview, and it definitely was there, so maybe it'll be next episode, or I don't know. So anyway, that's it for this episode, though. We have covered, oh man, so much. We've been talking for 3 hours straight, including the bonus episode, which you should listen to. And guess what? We're reconvening in 3 hours from now to do our live hangout. So everyone.
Excited.
I'm excited. I'm so excited. I just can't hide it. Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you, by the time you get to the end of to this point of the podcast, the hangout's probably over. But, So thanks everyone.
Thank
Follow
you,
us
everybody.
Facebook.com/ Watch for Crap and subscribe to us on iTunes. That'd be lovely if you could do that. Subscribe to us or
yes,
on Stitcher.
Thank you to everybody who has and who's been leaving reviews and stuff. Love you guys.
We do. We love you all. And that is all. That's all she wrote. So bye everyone. Bye.
Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.
A few days ago, Brooke Tudine posted an inspirational quote on her wall that got 17 likes and 3 comments. Thumbs up, Brooke. Geico also wants to make a comment. In just 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance by switching to Geico. And nothing says inspiration better than saving money. Well, except for those posters that say things like teamwork, excellence, and make it happen. Hashtag keep climbing. Hashtag savings.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.